understanding our heart. Every one of us have heartbreaks, and it's not always heartburn. Each one of us need to pay attention to what makes us who we are. When I'm talking about the heart, let me read Proverbs 27:19 first. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Now, you all have heard me say before about the lady that I would talk to. She was here from this church in those days and is talking about heart transplants. And she said, I would never do that because then I would not be who I am. And that was because of the lack of education or the lack of understanding the Word of God. When the Lord is speaking so often here or throughout the Scripture, you will find that heart refers to the real us, who we are. But a lot of people will, instead of taking it as a metaphor, they believe that it's their heart. The human heart is a pump, just like the fuel pump in a vehicle. If we can ever get it in our spiritual mind that the spiritual being in here is the driver of this physical vehicle. Any of the organs that they can give, I mean, my goodness, I'd give anything if I'd, you know, put in an order many years ago for different parts, if I knew they could be doing what they're doing here today. So, we know that God then gives, whether it's the doctors, the scientists, whoever they are, the science doesn't conflict. There's nothing there, folks. You got some groups of individuals that want to be powerful. They conflict with the thought of God. But God gave us science. God gave us scientists. It's whether they say, well, I don't know God. It doesn't mean anything. God knows them, and he knows what he's placed in their mind. But God says to us, I want you to pay attention to your heart. That's the focus of the motivation within us. That's all of the desires, hopes, longing, dreams, ambitions, and affections. That's the real us. Did you ever say, I have a heart for you? My heart goes out to you. You haven't been taking our hearts out and handing them to people. Our heart goes out to you, meaning, and we know what that means. We understand. That's why anybody from other countries are wanting to learn English. And it is the hardest language for anybody to learn. It's so hard that you and I don't speak proper English. I speak Kentucky, and yes, you do, honey. You got Mississippi all the way down there. Yes, you do. So, God says, I'm going to motivate you with the spiritual you. And I'm going to call that spiritual you your heart. I give my heart to you. You broke my heart by what you did. You broke my heart by what you said. And God says, pay attention to your heart. Because your heart, spiritual heart we're talking about, is what makes you, you. Nobody else will ever come close to you. Each individual, only God could create the most blessed of his creation, us, and not any of us think the same. You know, we'll go along with each other on certain ideas, but you want to ask somebody their opinion. In America, you ask somebody their opinion, and who all standing around wants to start giving you their opinion real quick. And normally their opinion is, you shouldn't be asking us our opinion. That's none of your business. But God says, I'm going to make you special. Difficult again for us to understand how special we are as an individual. Y'all have heard me say many times, and it took a lifetime of living like I have to really get to grow into the area in my life to where I miss those who hate me. I miss people. I mean, you know, you get personalities, good, bad, or the ugly, in your life, and then they're gone. And even, you know, when you're talking about them, well, gosh, I'll feel better when that individual's gone or does something. Well, and then you miss them. Why do you miss them? Because you stand toe-to-toe, you know, with discussing views or ideas, debating one another. But you'll miss the different personalities in your life. Well, I have them in my mind. Yes, we do. We have the memories. But folks, the memories we can't hug. The memories of that individual that we love so much and care so much about. We miss them just sitting there, being there, smarting off to us. You know, we remember the laugh. We remember, how they would say certain words. And all of this starts coming to us. What is that? That's a connection God has given us. And he calls it the heart. I'm connected at the heart with people. We connect. Is it not, as a Christian, do we not and are we not supposed to hurt when someone that we know hurts? Are we not to laugh with someone that we know that is laughing or cheering because they've just conquered once again another stent with cancer and all of this, and everybody's happy for them? That's the relationship between heartfelt Christianity, meaning you and I are put together by Christ, and all Christians have the same creator, the same maker, and the same remaker, being born again. It's all Jesus, so that blood, his blood, brings us together. And each, even the problem personality, problem, the difficulties of life, God says, I have a purpose for that. And even though we wonder, Lord, please don't tell me what the purpose is, because I can barely handle what I'm doing with it. Your heart is what makes you you, Proverbs 27:19. It is your own self that you see in your heart. It is your own self that you see in your heart. What is in the heart is what you speak. Our, what is it? Our outward conduct is a result of our inward condition. So how our heart, the real me here, when you speak, that's the heart talking. Have you ever found, though, that right in the process of making a statement, you're doing your best to try to inhale and suck it back in before the rest of what's on your brain takes over of where the heart should be speaking? Know what I mean? You said it. You're sorry you said it. Pride sets in, so you don't want to apologize right then. Let them wallow in it a little while. And that's the human battle that you and I deal with every day. And we say, well, we're Christians now. Why are we still dealing with this? Because we're Christians now. That's why we're dealing with it. Because it helps us to grow. Wonder what the job is that God has for us, that he's putting, giving us each one, even though it's a separate situation in our life. Similar, different name, similar, but it's never exactly the same. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the why. But I sure do know who the who. And Jesus says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So as a Christian, whatever the situation is, I realize that if the Lord is there with me, then why should I be afraid of it? Number one, why you say the things you do. That's the heart. That's what makes you you. Why you say the things you do is because of who your personality is, who you are. Matthew 12:24. Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Yeah. Sometimes I knew that was coming. You didn't know that. I saw the look on her face when it. And that, you know, that is a fact. Half the stuff, there's no telling how much that we say that wasn't even worth saying. you know, we just start talking, and we have no idea what we're talking about. And then somebody said, why did you say that? Why did I say what? The older we get, the more I've noticed that. Why, what did I say? Well, I don't remember what you said, but I don't know why you said it. That's the conversation that people have when they surpass their 60s. Did I say anything to hurt your feelings? You probably did, if I could remember what you said. But I can't remember, but shame on you for saying it. I mean, that's how foolish we get in this human existence. Okay, our heart, what makes us who we are, makes you you. Number two, that heart is why you feel the way you do. It's in the heart. Do we need heart transplants? Yes, we really do. Because over the time that God starts dealing with us, in the reality living focus of being in this body, the Lord is continually helping us to grow. Now, okay, does that completely change me? Can a leper lose his spots or any of that? No. So what do? God is working with us for our heart, that through the hard times and the good times in life, that we will be disciplined in our heart. Another problem there. We get disciplined in our heart. We're so proud of it. And we forgot that our tongue is what's going to issue or dictate what our heart says. And have you noticed that our tongue doesn't always say what we want it to say? But folks, normally it will say what's really in your heart. So you got to be careful. We have to discipline our heart. Aren't you a different person when you get angry and lose your temper? Yeah. It's a different you. That's not even sometimes. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, talk about someone, well, you know, that it's amazing to me, but I've never seen that side of him. I've never seen that side of him. Now, I don't know how many sides and corners we have, but in those sides and corners, folks, there is a real us in here, and God is with us to help us grow in our relationship with him. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, you will find that that tongue still loses it, still goes wild, but we know at least that it's a saved tongue. Oh, you know, why do cursings come from the same tongue that expresses love, the scripture says? And he says, it ought not be that way, brethren. It ought not be that way. We don't have the answers, but we really do know that in our heart, we express what we're truly feeling. Hebrews 4, verse 12. God's word examines the thoughts and the motives of the heart. Now, sometimes we just slip up, and our tongue says things that our heart really doesn't intend to say. We get so mixed up from the spiritual. That's why I said you got to be in constant prayer, because the devil lurks about seeking whom he may destroy. Well, Satan wants to destroy the witness of the Christian. But you will find something out in life. It doesn't matter how close you attempt to walk a line, when the world or the people in the world or even fellow Christians sometimes who don't act very Christian-like, when they have a problem with you, it doesn't matter how you say it, you're still going to be wrong. And that's sad. Paul kept saying, why do you people eat? You eat and devour one another. No wonder nobody's coming to the church of Corinth. You all are living worse than the infidels live. Number three, it's what makes us you. Why you act the way you do. That's to you. That's that heart in you that makes you you. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the actions of life, right? And I know that none of you all have probably done this, but have you ever just chosen to sin? You know it is, and you go ahead and do it because, hey, I need a break from this stuff. So I'm just going to have to choose to do it. Now, here's the key to this you got to be careful with. People say, well, you're talking about like going into the world and like doing this or that or the other. Gosh, these kids had said like after end of each thing. Got me doing that now. Like, Papa, you understand? So what happens? You and I, when we're paying attention to our heart, sometimes we just want to slow the heartbeat down because we're hurting. And many times when you don't think about it this way, but the worst things we do as sin against God is not what comes to your mind of all of the drunkenness and all the other stuff. No. Do you know, you think about this, what is the greater sin for me? Would it not be not preaching the truth and preach a word that just makes people feel good about themselves and could live, you know, or get a star every day for what you said and what you've done, but you have lied to those who are listening. And in the process, you have once again driven a spike in the hands of our Savior. The greatest sins is the sin of unbelief, remember? The only unpardonable sin there is the sin of unbelief. So if you and I try to take control of God's Word instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to take His Word and deliver His Word to the heart of each individual, but when you and I try to make them feel good because we don't want to hurt their feelings, when we do that, we harm our witness. And not only that, we harm our Lord. And His blood means nothing to us. It's like stomping in the blood of Christ because we just want to make them feel good. If you want to make them feel good, you do anything except change the gospel. Don't ever do that. Number four, our heart is why you work the way you do. And I'm talking about working not just in the physical worker. Many of us are workaholics, and I say many of us. Is it wrong? Is that sin? Yes. But see, on the sin level, we say, Marion, have you ever said I'm going to slow down? Yeah. Have you ever slowed down, Marion? No. No, but see, that's, and so what is that? You and I have to balance what's going on with us as human beings. The key that we have is that we know Christ as our Savior. And everything that's going on now with us, it, God uses to train us. And again, what for? I don't know. But I do know that it is for our service with Him throughout eternity. Heaven is not a place where everybody just goes and quits. Heaven is a place where everything continues, folks. Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, you got it? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Folks, no matter where you are, you represent Christ as a Christian. So it's no matter what you're doing, in the work, I know Christians will say, you know, I've given them enough time. I take breaks. I hide around the corner and all of this. And I'm the wrong person to say that to. Because that's stealing. And that makes us then make a blemish with that individual as to our Christianity. And it goes back to our Christ. When someone in the family really goes off into the world, someone you love and your name is posted out there all the time, your last name, it breaks your heart, doesn't it? What we do is we do the best we can to help, but we do it, we never let those we love bring us down. But listen, folks, I know enough families if you'll just give me this money and help me to do this, I'll do it. And then they just suck them dry. You got to spend everything that you've got to do that. Well, you know, I just really want to help my kids. Well, help them. But if they're 200 a work or anything else, help them with that too. Kick the bodies outside and tell them to get a job and pick up the pieces. Ecclesiastes 2:10. My heart took delight in all my work. You know why? Because he did the best he could. That's all the Lord ever said. She did what she could. And talking about Mary with the almond pouring on him, the Lord, he said she did what she could. Leave her alone. Now, he got pretty rough with the disciples. I said, leave them alone. He got a lot rougher than that, just like when he's clearing out the temple with the money changers. With the disciples, you know, they picked on women all the time. And Jesus didn't like that in any situation. He did not like that, and he came down on them very hard. Number five, our last one, it's what makes you you. It's why you have the peace you do. I have peace in Christ. I know I'm a sinner. I realize that I have so many faults that I can't count them and don't want to. I know that I'm saved, and that gives me the peace. What about all the junk in life? I don't know. See, I don't know, again, the answers to why we have to go through it. I'm just glad we have a Savior to go through it with us. And if he's there with us and says, I love you, then we need to appreciate that a little more. How do we appreciate it? By doing the best we can. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. People think happiness is in the human wealth. Nothing, folks. It's the peace in the heart. And the Lord says, he will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. Understand our heart. We say we gave our heart to Christ, right? Don't try to take it back. When we gave to Christ, we gave him our heart saying, I believe, and I believe what you did for me. Why would we dare then insult our Lord by not preaching or teaching the gospel the way he gave it to us, instead of changing to fit the society of our time? Can't happen.